my beloved people, again, you are fully able to read what's in the bulletin. I wish to speak for Mrs. DeAndrea from last Sunday, who scared us, and who is full of embarrassment needlessly. She need not be embarrassed in the slightest. And those of us who assisted her, she's very grateful for that. And that's only what we are. We love one another. And that is that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's gospel is one of the great gospels that we like to hear. And yet, it is a gospel that can cause us great difficulty and great frustration and great anxiety and a lot of wonderment. Perhaps the reason for this is that we hear that which our Lord said, that he will provide. And after we do our little bit, however little, however great that bit is, we walk off and leave the rest to Almighty God to do. No question about it, but that we are living in beyond pagan times. We know that. You don't need me to say this to you. And you certainly are more familiar with this than I. And there's no need really for me to remind ourselves that we find the grossest kind of paganism that has shown its ugly face even within the sanctuary. My beloved people, it is beyond the time that is required for us to analyze briefly the situation. Many of us feel that Almighty God has turned his face away from us. Maybe he has. And if he has, perhaps we are due just that. We speak of all the wonderful things. We speak of spirituality. We speak of prayer. We speak of obedience. We speak of humility, and so on, and the interior life, and so on, and so on, and so on, and all the rest. But in the last analysis, my beloved people, what effect has this had upon us? Have we noticed within ourselves any kind of change, any kind of betterment, anything at all that would demonstrate that there is a difference inside of us and within us? We pray. We fulfill all of the great things that are asked of us in prayer. And we look to prayer as being some kind of a magic something that will automatically bring about what we want. And we put that prayer upon ourselves as some kind of poultice, and we expect the prayer to do magical things in our lives. It doesn't work that way. I mentioned only a few moments ago to someone, the rule really is, we have to pray like everything depends upon God. But we have to work like everything depends upon us. And we have to understand this. It is idle to think that we involve ourselves in prayer. It is idle to think that if we do not follow up the prayer with our work. We surround ourselves with a multitude of prayers. We're constantly saying this prayer and that prayer, this prayer that will get us this, that prayer that is guaranteed to accomplish the other thing, and it goes on and on and on. And yet, nothing happens, at least so it seems. And we look to this gospel of today, and we think upon the lilies of the field, and we think upon the birds of the air, and we think upon the love that Almighty God has for them, because indeed He does provide for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Why not us? Why is it that we have to struggle the way we do? Why is it that we have to, may I use the word fight, for our very existence? Why is it that every step we take is difficult? Why is it? And yet, it is so. We forget that we are here for that purpose which we speak of so much. And that purpose is fulfilled in us only in the interior existence of our souls. We can surround ourselves. Oh, we speak pretty soon, Advent's coming, believe it or not. Advent is on the way. We start talking about the monastic or monastery, little chapels in our houses, and this devotion and that devotion and the Epiphany blessing and all the other multitude of things that we talk about. And we automatically say we're protected. It's almost like our house is surrounded with lightning protectors, and that everything is all right. We have nothing further to fear. Not so. Not so at all. Because in the usual run-of-the-mill of things, even though we do surround our houses with things, and the insurance that we place upon our houses by these various and sundry things relieves us of the responsibility of change. Unless and until, I repeat, unless and until we change interiorly, all the devotions and all the prayers and all the good works that we perform will amount to nothing. They will be less than sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If we give up our bodies to be burned, if we do not have the proper attitude that prompts the burning of our bodies, it profits us nothing. And this is what we do not want to hear. This is not what we want to regulate ourselves with. We get so tangled up with the idea, I have given my life up to be burned, or given myself up to be burned. Therefore, undoubtedly, without question, I am acceptable. Not so. Not so at all. And the disappointment will slap us in the face at a most unpropitious moment later when we can do nothing further about it. Now is the acceptable time for us to do something. In recent bulletins, we have, as you know, had what some seem to think is very difficult reading. It's not exactly difficult. It isn't the easiest reading in the world, but it's not above our heads. The only thing that it takes is just simply sit down in a quiet corner, shut the door, and read it slowly, more than once. And you will hear its message. We speak of the humanity of Christ. And for too many of us, we think if we imitate Christ in his obedience, in his charity, in his kindness, in his generosity, in his this, in his that, and in his other thing, that we are doing what is required of us. Again, my beloved people, not so. To imitate the human qualities of Jesus Christ is far, far, far from being what we're talking about. We may just as well be imitating the human qualities of Abraham Lincoln, or George Washington, or anybody else that we might think well of. It's no more than that. If we insist on keeping our focus on that which is human, then we must not be disappointed if the focus of our reward will be placed only on that which is human. Do you follow me? If we are to speak in terms of our supernatural existence, then, my beloved people, we have to ascend to the supernatural level. No matter. This is not going to make freaks of us out in the world. It's not going to cause us to be weird. We can go about our business in the usual way. But our business will be such that it will be done correctly, honestly, above board, good, well, honest, enduring, kind, unsuspicious, generous, compassionate, and so on. In today's bulletin, I might and very likely have demonstrated a little bit of upset. Allow me that once in a while. And there's some things that I have to say. Not necessarily to you, but as you know, our bulletins are often are mailed out to various and sundry parts, many of them. And it is high time that some eyes were beginning to be opened. It is high time that we stop going through life in the present existence with our eyes closed. Our last little booklet, The Speculum, has caused some disturbance. It was intended to disturb. It was our purpose to disturb. Because we have in our own way, by we, I'm again, please keep me reminded of yourself, that I'm not pointing the gun at us. Maybe here and there. I hope I don't hit the wrong ones in the process of hitting the right ones. But we must come to the conclusion, first of all, that there is really something wrong, and we must come to the way of tackling that which is wrong. Today we have a multitude of people, young men, unfortunately some old men, priests even, and such like, that I do not know what fuel they are using to fuel themselves with. Let this be a rule of life for you. Anything that you pick up to read, or anything that you turn on to listen to, if it is anonymous, you are to destroy it. You're not to listen to it. You're not to talk about it. You are to destroy it immediately. Do not give it to somebody else to listen to. Get it out of circulation. If someone has something to say about me, or you, or him, or anybody, if someone has something to say about me, if he has not got the courage to put his name upon that which he's got to say, then he's a coward. An unadulterated coward. And if he is a coward, and he comes out and shoots in the dark, which they usually do, then we must not become victim to this. Another thing which today we must be cautious about is that which is coming to us as gospel from people who have no business to teach or to preach. Only this morning we had a visitor, an ex-Marine of all people, and this subject came up. I brought it up, actually, they're visitors. And I says, "Sir, you are a Marine, an ex-Marine, are you not?" He says, "Yes." "You have experience as a Marine, do you not?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Obviously, I'm not a Marine, and I never have been a Marine. I don't know anything about Marines. But I've read a whole lot about them in books. Would you allow me to go and teach the third party how to be a Marine?" He says, "Of course not. How can you give what you don't have?" Which is precisely what we are facing in many, many, many of our so-called traditionalist centers today. You have those who have no experience trying to give experience. Let me show you how utterly ridiculous this can be. There's a certain gentleman someplace who is an ordained priest. No doubt is a priest. I have nothing to say. Somehow or other, this gentleman, among others elsewhere, he's not the only one, somehow or other, this gentleman decided that he was going to call together his friends and neighbors, and they were going to have a papal conclave. This took place by telephone. One here, one there, one the other place. And somehow or other, by the infinite grace of Almighty God, guess what? They elected him, this priest, to be the Pope. And he took the name of Pius the 13th. Immediately, Pius the 13th now is sending out literature here, there, and everywhere, telling people, if you do not belong to my church, I am the church, you will go to hell, to hell, to hell, to hell. But Pius the 13th has a little problem. Pius the 13th is not a bishop. And popes have to be bishops. So we have a problem. Pius the 13th, in all of his wisdom as the as now the vicar of Christ on earth, who knows all things and can do all things, has corresponded with certain people, approached certain people. I was one of them. So Pius the 13th pointed out to me that you have to be bishop to be a pope, but he's not a bishop, and he needs to become a bishop. How is he going to handle it? So he has decided to do it in this particular way. He says, I, as pope, have the power and the ability to make you a bishop. So that you can turn around then, and guess what? Make me a bishop. My beloved people, is that not an example of craziness? But you know, these people are approaching others who do not know, and others believe. And their consciences are disturbed, and their minds are disturbed, and their hearts are disturbed, and they wonder, and they suspect, and they wonder, and they wonder, and they wonder. We cannot do that. And the message you get from this pulpit, I hope, will all be always be one, I hope, that makes a bit of sense. If you leave this church uneasy, and I've got to quit, if you leave this church uneasy, it is not because this pulpit made you uneasy. This pulpit is not here to tell you that you are going to hell. This pulpit is here to tell you how you will go to heaven. That's the purpose and the function of this pulpit, of these priests that are here in this monastery. That is the function of this pulpit. You have craziness to the left of us. You have craziness to the right of us. We are entitled to know how to save our immortal souls. And thus we here are for that purpose. Leave all others whose souls are disturbed, leave them alone. Because their disturbance is like a fungus. And it will enter into your soul. And you will become disturbed. And you will become uneasy. And it will gradually lead you to mental imbalance. It will lead you inevitably to spiritual isolation. And in too many cases today, my beloved people, people who have reached that particular point will say, what is the use? And they will throw their arms down and quit. I will not let you quit. Is that clear? I will not let you walk out of this church with an uneasy conscience. Is that clear? All others who have a different message to give, let them give it. And after you put it together and weigh it on the balance, you determine what gives you peace of mind and what gives you uneasiness of mind. And I have a very final thing. I have to say it. I'm sorry. Like the monks told me, don't make up for last week because you didn't preach a sermon last week, so you preached twice as long this week. I'm not going to do that, so don't worry about it. I forgot what I was going to say. All right, it must have not been very important after all. So God bless you, and I love you very much. We love you.